Welcome to What in God's Name? Short Form. We're here to help you understand our common life. Using the concepts and language of meaning and purpose, virtue and character, in shows that are short, 8 minutes or less. Today's show, The Nihilisms at the Heart of American Culture and Politics, Part 3 of 4. Today, we want to help you understand the form of nihilism in our common life called existential despair. First, to review this series, in Part 1, we covered the form of nihilism called epistemic failure. A shorthand for epistemic failure is to say, there's no such thing as truth. In Part 2, we covered the form of nihilism called ethical incoherence. A shorthand for ethical incoherence is to say, there's no such thing as goodness, or there's no such thing as a common good. Today, we want to look at existential despair. And more specifically, we'll answer the following questions. What is it? How did we get here? How do we see it in our common life? How is it dangerous? And what can be done about existential despair in our culture today? Okay, the first question. What is the nihilism captured in the phrase existential despair? Existential despair is the feeling of meaninglessness. It's the lived experience, and if things are dark enough, the nightmare, that nothing matters. It's a sense of hopelessness about the possibility that life might be purposeful. How did our culture get to a place where so many people feel that their lives lack meaning? Part of the answer is that there's something deeply human about questioning whether life has meaning and what that meaning might be. But specific to our time, we can point to the collapse of institutions that used to transmit a sense of life's meaning from one generation to the next, religion being primary. Closer to home, one might point to the fragmentation of families as contributing to a breakdown of meaning and belonging. Since families are conveyors and holders of meaning and belonging, the dominance of the neoliberal capitalist ethos, where efficiency, productivity, and extraction translate into wealth accumulation, that dominant ethos crowds out more humanistic ways of assigning value to human life. We have not arrived at an age of existential despair by chance. We're here for a reason, or several reasons. And I've just outlined some very basic reasons. How does existential despair show itself in society? We can see this in several ways. We see it in measures of deaths of despair, levels of addiction, levels of suicide. We see it in measures of anxiety and depression in young people. Because a pervasive and continuing feeling of meaninglessness is intolerable, people seek relief through destructive anger. That can come in the form of physical destructiveness or the use of words to hurt or demean others. Just take a look at the comment section in Breitbart News for online words of this sort. But you don't have to go to Breitbart News, you can just go to Facebook. And then, harder to see but still present in our society is what Henry David Thoreau referred to as quiet desperation. The idea that we can mask an unsettling feeling of meaninglessness by being very, very busy. Busyness can be a defense against the feeling of existential despair. Again, that feeling which is intolerable, we seek relief from it. So we've defined existential despair. We've given some reasons for why it's widespread in our culture now. And we've seen how a sense of meaninglessness shows itself in society. Now we need to ask the question, how is this dangerous? How does this form of nihilism in our common life, how does it become a threat? The danger posed by the cultural nihilism of existential despair rises from the human desire to seek relief from this feeling that life has no meaning. The danger is in the ways that people can seek relief from that intolerable feeling of purposelessness. There are positive ways to seek relief, but people can seek relief from deep hopelessness in destructive ways that can harm others, and that's the danger. A feeling that life has no meaning is harmful when people seek relief from that feeling through the mechanism of scapegoating, one form of which today is negative partisanship or affective polarization. You relieve your feeling of meaninglessness by blaming someone or some group, thereby legitimizing ill treatment or even violence towards that person or group. And part of the insidiousness of scapegoating is that the people who are engaged in it don't have a self-understanding that that's what's the mechanism that's at work. You get temporary relief from existential despair, but the price is the dignity, or even worse, of the other. Related to this practice of scapegoating, Hannah Arendt reminds us of how mass loneliness, mass despair, creates conditions for the rise of the authoritarian power. People seek relief from isolation and a crisis of meaning by merging themselves into a mass movement in which the feeling of belonging is so delicious, is such a relief, that critical thinking ceases. A feeling of meaninglessness is submerged or masked by affection to and devotion to the leader. A feeling of belonging and unity replaces the feeling of purposelessness and isolation. Scapegoating is part of this dynamic, as victimization provides the emotional energy to maintain the in-group unity. All of this is fueled by the discomfort, the intolerable feeling of purposelessness and meaninglessness in people's lives. Finally today, and in conclusion, what can be done about the nihilisms in American culture and politics? The conditions are not propitious. Let me start there. But if we are to remain a free and self-governing people in a functioning society, we will need a community of people who have relearned the vocabulary and concepts connected to human meaning and purpose, civic character, and civic virtue. That's an educational project, and the S1 project exists, in fact, to do this work, to help people become reconnected to the vocabulary of meaning and purpose. We can stand for hopefulness in our common life if we learn some things which our culture has forgotten. This has been What in God's Name Short Form, a production of the S1 Project. If you like what you heard today, share it with a friend. If you or your friends prefer reading, see the writing on our blog at s1project.org. Sign up for our newsletter and connect with our programming at s1project.org. I'm Pastor Christopher Owen. We'll be back with more soon.